spent long. I'll just say a few things and then we're done. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, from verse 18 down to verse 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. If you're there, can you say amen? Oh Lord. You're still getting set. Okay, if you're there, can you say amen? All right, can we read together? 18 to 20, want to go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we see that upon the resurrection of Jesus, he appears to his disciples. And of course, if you read Mark's account, Luke's account, John's account, and Acts or Luke's account, beg your pardon, in the Acts of the Apostles, okay, we vividly see that Jesus actually was with his disciples 40 days, and he taught them from Scripture, that is, he showed them from Scripture that God had foreordained, or it has been spoken by the prophets, okay, of course, inspired of God, that this should happen. So if you read Luke 24, verse 46, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day. That is, Jesus taught them from Scripture that that was the essence of the writings of the prophets. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what the woman after the Spirit of Christ was in them, this signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In other words, Jesus here in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, came to his disciples to show them from Scripture that the resurrection of Christ has been God's plan from the very beginning. And this having happened is God's accomplishment, fulfillment of God's kind of man, or the remission of sins that God intended from the very beginning. And then we see the word teach here used in verse 19, which is matheteu, which is a word that means to make disciples. Okay? Which is a word that also brings to the fore apprenticeship. That is to understudy, to learn, to become a pupil, or to enroll as a scholar, or to disciple. That's from the perspective of the one that ought to disciple, or that ought to cause to learn. Okay, so in other words, if your translation has, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, that's quite solid. Okay, that's a good interpretation of matheteu. Of course, we can't say that King James didn't do well. I'm sure that's why he translates it teach, because it entails discipleship. Okay, so, and then after that, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20, it says teaching, which is the word didasco, which from the perspective of the Scriptures is to explain or expound a thing. Okay, or to teach as it is translated. It could also mean to instill a doctrine into someone. All right. So if you look at the way Matthew speaks here, apparently Jesus spoke of discipleship. That is, disciple every man in every tribe and in every race. This is God's plan for mankind. Of course, discipleship to mankind will then entail preaching to the sinner to be saved, and then you take up the saved or the saint and disciple, raise up, build up, grow up such a one. Okay? So we said on Sunday that we can also say that Jesus said, go into all the world and start local churches. Because the fundamental reason, the purpose of or for a local church is discipleship. For saints to have that opportunity to gather regularly, to be trained in spiritual things, to be trained to grow spiritually or to develop spiritually, and to be given first-hand opportunity to serve. So we must understand this very fact, okay? Aside our experiences, aside what we see around, aside our background as individuals here and there, you know, aside whatever in every place, we must allow the Bible to be the final authority on the subject matter of the local church or the local assembly. So we see that the coming together of the saints to learn, to fellowship with God in the Word and in the Spirit is the local assembly. Please highlight the word regularly. Coming together regularly to what is what the local church is. You know, so we can't overemphasize this or overflog the matter that a church is established for discipleship. That coming together is for that purpose. We can say to disciple, we can say discipleship is what it is. And then we can then say, okay, to learn God's word and then to be given opportunity to serve. And then we may talk about other things here and there. But we can use one word to sum it up and just say discipleship. All right? To just learn. Sorry, don't let me say that. Discipleship. Okay? That once a man is saved, he comes into an assembly of the saints that gather regularly for spiritual nourishment and a platform for service. That's simply discipleship. Okay? So, we said that in looking at the church, looking at the word used, ecclesia, it means that our coming together physically, which is a demonstration of what we are in spirit, a spiritual entity called church, which is of God. It means we're called out of God. Our coming together physically is a demonstration of the fact that we are the church. Actually, our coming together is also called church. The fact that we came together physically for one singular purpose can be called church. That is our gathering. That's why we can use interchangeably local church, local assembly, local gatherings, okay? Because they refer to one and the same. And then we also said that our coming together, since it's for a purpose, therefore, the activities that go on They are vital and as important as what we are in spirit and our coming together. Okay? So it's not that we would then feel, okay, we are a spiritual entity in spirit, and then our coming together physically is also called church. Then from thence we can do whatsoever we please. No, the reason we come together is for a specific purpose. Therefore, the activities that go on, which we know, which definitely will be spiritual activities, or the things that demonstrate or show that we are the church, the things that allow for oneness. Okay? So primarily, we would speak of things that foster discipleship. Prayer, the practice of the Spirit, learning God's word, preaching and teaching, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, we're able to say that in all of this, if we take out discipline and order, then we really don't understand what church is. Our coming together is God's wisdom and design for our good. So God has set the local gatherings in such a way that there are men who are placed over the flock. In Acts 20:28, Paul says to the Ephesian elders in the church, take it to thyself and all the flock, over with the Holy Ghost, and make you overseers that you feed the church of God which you purchased with his own blood. In John 21:15-18, we see Jesus talking to Peter, and lovest thou me more than this? And he said, feed my lambs. And then he says it three times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Okay? Which demonstrates the duty of a shepherd over the flock. In Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Don't forget that word, poimen kai didaskalos. Shepherds that teach, or shepherds who perform their shepherding role by teaching. Okay, now it's good that you understand that the word poimen, of course, is largely translated shepherd, and it speaks of that role of a shepherd towards his flock, towards the sheep, to tend, to graze, to lead, to provide leadership, to guide, to guard. And all of that. So that paints a picture of the one who has oversight in the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, he that desires the office of a bishop, the office of an overseer, desires a good thing. So God places men over his children. God designed it so that the saints be built up in the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so it's important that we instill this in our mind, in our consciousness, what exactly church is. So it informs our coming together that as you live wherever you are and then you come together with other saints, you gather with other saints, your mind must be programmed, as it were, in such a way that you understand what you are going there to do. And it informs your participation. So let me say this, that this is not a style that we choose to inject into God's word. This is God's design. So God put men in his church to instill discipline in the man in Christ. The man in Christ is still a man. a man given the right to make choices. That's who a man is. He's a being of choice. One who can make choices. One to whom you can give instructions, and it is left to him to obey the instructions or disobey. When a man disobeys an instruction, it doesn't make the man a demon. That shows he's a man. When a man disobeys God, when a man refuses to accept God's pattern, God's plan, God's wisdom, it doesn't change the man into another creature. That's who a man is, whether a sinner or a saint. So you must understand that for the saints of God, for God's children, the local church, the local gatherings, is God's wisdom for discipline and order. This is where the saints of God are kept in check. This is where the saints of God are given instructions. Do this, don't do this. They are taught and they are instructed. Now, this is something. This is probably something that will help us. Two sayings, quickly. In church, yes, it's to teach. But teaching without instructing is to give room for rebellion. And then, instructing without teaching is obviously manipulation. You're not taught, you're not told what to do, you're not shown God's word who you are, you know, you're not shown how to walk in who you are, and then you're being instructed to do this, do that, don't go there, come here, sit down there, stop there. However, it is then good when you are taught, shown who you are, shown who God has made you, very well taught about your new nature, and then you are instructed, go there, come back here, sit down there, do this, don't do that. Hallelujah. Like we said on Sunday, we can look at the law of Moses as what was given to the children of Israel to keep them within the confines of God's plan for them. Stay within this perimeter of knowledge so that you can believe what God has said it will do. Galatians 3 says the law was a schoolmaster unto Christ. So all of the do this, don't do this, do this, is to bring the mind of man to the point he accepts God's design. In the church, it's not, I'm born again, I have liberty in Christ, therefore it means I can behave as I please. No. God's design is now to have local gatherings where believers are monitored, checked, watched over, ruled over. Of course, ruling over will not be for gain and not to just lord it over the saints, but for their care and nourishment and upbringing. So if discipline is required in the church, then we must understand and allow the authorities that God puts over us to wield their authority for the purpose of the gatherings. Are you there? So it will not be authority to authority for personal gain, or authority to just walk in the flesh, rather, authority to ensure that each and every one of us walk in God's plan for our lives. So a believer should not love or embrace indiscipline and disorderliness or disorder. No. No. Don't say, the law is not for us. It depends on what you mean. Amen. In the church, there are do's and don'ts. I mean, well, let me even give a very simple example. Pray like this. Don't pray this way. Is that not a do and don't? Okay? So the church is to help the saint of God to grow according to God's plan, despite the saint's ability or free will to decide to submit to growth and not to, or decide to even want to grow. So local church is where you are helped, where you are disciplined, where you are corrected, instructed, rebuked. The local church is a structure that God puts in place for the good of his children. Whether teach, whether correct, or whether teaching, correction, or rebuke, as the case may be. So it's important that we understand this. So, as leaders in the church, that is in local gatherings, you've come to a point where you're placed over people. You must understand the purpose of the gatherings and use it so. I said this in passing, I'll say it again, not today, that structures put in place in different local churches, God is not against them because he has put men there to ensure that God's plan supersedes or is accomplished. So for instance, if you're in a church and this is how it is done, and you readily don't see it written in God's word, and you look at the whole structure, it's not designed to make you commit sin, or to make you do contrary to God's word, or to make you serve man, and all of that, then submit to it. God is not against such a structure. As long as it's a man in charge, and he's in charge of men. Men will create the structure that will help God's plan to work in the lives of men. Do you understand that? It's important that we note that. You know, some people now try to get overly spiritual and say, this is not in God's word, therefore I will not do it. That's not in God's word, therefore I will not do it. Is it in God's word that you should sit on a white chair in church? Is it in God's word that we should spend money, buy sound system that runs into hundreds of thousands? Is it in God's word? Is it in God's word that you should meet in a building? Right outside. You know, so we must understand that in a setting, in a gathering like this of men, and men are in charge, placed there by God, there are certain things that you'll be instructed to do. There are certain structures that will be created for the sake of the people.
Or it may even be in some instances to accommodate the diversity of people. Whether you are from here or there or here and there, you have a structure that brings everyone into oneness. Not just in spirit, mentally and physically, so that we can achieve God's plan for the local church. So, we're clear on what God's purpose is, but understand that if God puts a man there, there are certain things that will be put in place for the sake of the growth or the development or the betterment of the people. Hallelujah. So if you're in a local assembly and it gets to the point that you are going to do a thesis on a particular subject, and the list must be 200 pages, and you are going to do it like, it is done in the academia. Don't say, what is it gone? What kind of church is this? Why? Yeah, is it? Okay? You submit for your sake. Hallelujah. Don't forget Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit. That word means to surrender oneself. To submit self. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. It says what? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also of Christ. Now, of course, the word followers used there is the word mimetes. M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Mimetes. Because you can have an idea of what that is and what the meaning will be. It's a word that implies or means an imitator. That's the literal meaning. An imitator. Okay? So, it's a word that brings to us the actions or that describes the actions of the men in every tribe and in every race that Jesus sends his disciples to. That is, as you disciple them, don't forget we use the word apprentice. So it's a word that would describe the attitude or the actions of the one being discipled. Earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. Paul says it to
the church at Corinth. All the churches. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, be ye followers, or be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Be ye followers. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. In Hebrews chapter 6 and 12, it says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Okay? So it presents to us the attitude or the conduct of the one learning, the one being discipled. Okay? King James says to follow, imitates, an imitator, one who has an example or a pattern set before him, and he imitates. 1 Timothy quickly, chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Of course, we've gone through this several times. That is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. The background of those materials, how that Paul sent Titus. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to perform the duty of an overseer. Now, he says to this Timothy, he says, let no man, are you there? 1 Timothy 4, 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be thou an example. Of course, he uses the word tupos, T-U-P-O-S. T-U-P-O-S. It's a word that literally means this dye thing. When you want to create pattern on a fabric. Adire? And then you have something you want to do, and how do they do that thing again? Maybe you have a pattern that you want to be on the entire fabric, and then you fold maybe in such a way, and you create one. But that one that you create then appears on all. Are you there? Okay. So that's maybe how I can explain. Or you use the example of a stamp. If you know what a stamp is, there's an ink pad, and then there's something that has been made already. A design. Maybe the company details on it, the company name, and
registration number and all of that, then maybe date, signature, whatever on it, already designed by someone, and then you take the stamp, you put it on the ink pad, and then bam! What is here appears on the page, on the material. And then you can have 1,000 things to stamp. You just take that one stamp, put it on the ink pad, like that, like that, like that. So that one creates several of, if you want to do 1,000,000, if you have the energy and the strength, pa, 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 you, so one now creates several. Are you there? That's the word tupos. So, you would understand why Paul, let me say Paul first. You'd understand why it is translated example. That is, something there for reproduction. Or, let me put it this way. Something before you that is reproducible. So in the King James, you find it translated ensemble, print, figure, example, pattern, fashion, manner, form, you know, like that. That's the word tupos. Let's just see a few places. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, when it says, that is the remnant of Adam's transgression, who is the figure? He uses the word tupos. In chapter 6, Romans verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the word form, which was delivered you. Let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lost it. That is, the things written in scripture concerning the men of old, they are now our examples. Same chapter 10 verse 11, when it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Are you there? Philippians 3 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 7. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Quickly, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 9. Not because we have not power to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. 1 Timothy, of course, chapter 4 and 12. Titus, quickly, 2 and 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, an example in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Okay, the word pattern. Hebrews 8 and 5, when it is said to Moses, is to make the tabernacle, see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 3. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but ensamples to the flock. Are you there? Okay. So, First Timothy 4, where we began from, 12, and all of this that we read, now show. Of course, the places that apply here, like 1 Peter 5, 3. We read all of those portions from Romans to see how the word tupos is used. But such a word, when it comes to oversight to the flock, is used to portray something that a man will conduct himself in God's word and in discipleship, that is, in the model of discipleship, such that it will be an example or a pattern for the people to follow. So, looking at those two words from the side of the discipler or the overseer, tupos, from the perspective of the saints or the ones being discipled or the disciples, mimetes. Okay? So, this describes church. A simple example, if there are cells in the church, we break the assembly into cells, and then we have cell leaders. That cell leader is the example of the cell. That first-hand example. Okay? Okay, I see you pray, I see you do this, I see how you explain, I see how you read. That leader is the example. Hallelujah. Or is an example. Okay, so that's God's design. Gathering where there's someone who has oversight and is doing that regularly. So, the one in leadership realizes that he's an example to the flock and he does all that he needs to do in his life and in the model of discipleship. And the ones being discipled also realize that the men or the man God has placed over them, they ought to follow. Hallelujah. Okay? So, let me just round it up here. That we must be mindful of this very simple fact. That's what church is. Is it possible for leaders to develop personal agendas and begin to, as Peter warned against in 1 Peter 5 and 3, lord it over God's heritage? Yes. Should that give the people that ought to be discipled reasons not to follow? No. Are you following? Come on, are you there? Are there saints who will refuse to follow? Yes. Should that give leaders reasons not to be worthy examples? No. Are you there? So, you must understand what church is. I'm not just talking to you. Of course, how do I say now? That is and will be what is obtainable here. But I'm telling you what should be or what God's word says anywhere saints gather. Okay? For instance, like we said earlier, if you go to a place and two people are the heads, there will be confusion. Amen? It's not prophecy. Well, maybe it is. There will be. If you go to a place and you find a leader, you know, doing his best to raise the people, and you find the people not following him, not imitating, there will be problems someday. It is God's word. It's not seen into the spirit or into the future. Hallelujah. So this is God's plan. This is God's design. This is God's pattern. What is required of us? To allow this knowledge to influence our reasoning, our thinking, our participation in this assembly, so that you can make the best of your spiritual life. Hallelujah. Praise God. It therefore informs you to be diligent, to be submissive, to surrender yourself, your ideas, your plans, your ambitions to God's plan in the local church. Now, as I'm saying all of this, if you refuse to accept this because of the extremes of others, you are doing yourself evil. Okay? You know, at times, maybe you see certain examples and it now becomes the definition in your mind of certain things. There was somebody once they have followership in church. It's the reasoning is in the negative. They follow, no, may I will serve my God. That's evil. That's not God's plan. I will serve my God. I will do what... Yes, God said you should serve him. And he gave you people to show you how to serve him. Hallelujah. So understand this and let it help you. Be submissive, be disciplined, walk in order, be observant. You may not find a verse in the epistles that say, dear saint of God, be observant. But it is something that will greatly help you in your spiritual walk. Don't be absent-minded in meetings. Don't be someone who doesn't notice things. You're just there. You say, it happened. You say, I'm not talking about bad things. So, pastor gave an instruction that we do this. When did he? Me, I didn't hear. Pastor gave us an assignment. Spoke by the Spirit concerning this month. I didn't hear. What did he say? When did he say that? Is he at the beginning of the service or at the end? Or did he close then? I went out, then he came back and continued the service and quickly said it. And be observant. Be attentive. Be present in a service. That's the characteristic and the attitude of a disciple or one who follows. So let this guide you. Understand this very well, that you know you can help another person. For example, if you have access to the leader of an assembly where things are not being done as what God's word has prescribed, you can help. But this is what it is. This is what it is. And then it helps people to serve the saints well. It helps the saints to serve one another. It helps the saints to grow up spiritually. Hallelujah. So receive this as God's word. Receive this as God's wisdom for our collective good. Hallelujah.